I'm going to review last week's case, because last week we spoke about when you borrow something, what happens when you finish using it, right? So we talked about two major categories. One is, if you borrow something for a certain amount of time, I want to borrow the lawnmower for 2 hours, or the car for 2 days, the house for the things in the house for 2 weeks, and you set a certain amount of time. So then it was the Befeirush Gemara that when that time period ends, you are no longer responsible as a borrower because you're not borrowing it anymore. You then are downgraded to be just a Shomer Sofer because you had the pleasure, the benefit of using it for those 2 weeks. That's like the payment that you got paid to watch it from this point until it's returned to the owner's house. So because of that, you will be responsible for a Geneva, a Veda, a theft, and a loss, but you won't be responsible for something that unavoidable occurs to an armed robber or a fire, Chas v'Shalom. Right, so that's if there was a known amount of time, how long you were borrowing it for. But then we spoke about the case where you just said, can I borrow it until I'm finished with it? Can I use it to mow my lawn? And he has no idea how long it takes to mow your lawn. Or can I use it to move your van, to move my things, and you don't know how long it's going to take at all? So then we said, even though you might be finished with it, even though you are finished with it, but it's not so simple that you become downgraded from being a borrower at that point, because he doesn't know about it that you're finished with it. Right? So we spoke out to him. My focus is whether you become downgraded at that point in time. But certainly if there's a specific amount of time that you're using it for, so that when that specific time ends, you're no longer responsible as a borrower, you are now downgraded to be responsible only as a Shomer Sofer. So before we get to the nice case, I'd just like to do it like this. Let me tell you a case that Mishpat Shlomo says, and tell me what you think. It's really a trick question a little bit. He talks about someone who borrowed a pair of tefillin. Someone borrowed and asked, can I borrow your tefillin for Shacharis? We'll assume Shacharis is a set amount of time. A certain amount of time when Shacharis ends. Can I borrow it for Shacharis? And after Shacharis, instead of Reuven returning the tefillin to the owner, he put it into his desk, he locked the door, and it got broken into. The tefillin got stolen. It would seem that as soon as he finishes using the tefillin, right when he's using the tefillin, he's a borrower, and as long as he's using them, he's responsible for anything that happens to them, unless it's make the machmalacha. If the sweat like ruins the parshia, so then that might be make the machmalacha, but he won't be responsible for that. That's a natural occurrence that happens from the use. And when he's finished using them, he's now downgraded to be a shomer sofer. And the rule of a shomer sofer is a shomer sofer is chayiv for only geneva and aveda, for normal theft and loss, but not for anything unavoidable. So he will be downgraded to that level of shomer sofer. But if you recall, we talked about a case where someone borrowed a Sefer Torah. So remember the Ran talked about if someone borrowed a Sefer Torah or any other thing that's used for a mitzvah. So the Ran said that whenever you borrow something that's for a mitzvah, that's not classified as borrowing. Because to be called a borrower, to be a shoel, that has to be that you're getting full benefit and the owner isn't getting one penny. Because if the owner gets one penny of benefit, so then it's like you're renting it from him. So you're paying him that penny for use of the object. So to be a borrower, it has to be that you're borrowing the lawnmower and he's not getting a penny from it. Because as soon as he takes a penny, so then he's renting it to you for that minor amount. So he said whenever you borrow something that's for a mitzvah, the owner fulfills a mitzvah at that time by giving you that opportunity to do that mitzvah. And that mitzvah, we said, is worth the puter of Yosef. That mitzvah, we said, was worth something to him, because if someone would come to him collecting tzedakah at the time he was handing over the Sefer Torah, you wouldn't have to give that person the tzedakah because you're in the middle of doing a mitzvah. When you're doing one mitzvah, you don't have to do the other mitzvah. So there is some nominal value in giving a person something to borrow that involves a mitzvah. And that nominal value, according to the Ron, downgrades you from being a shoel, a borrower, to become like a shomer tzachar, to be like a soker, like a renter. Right? That was the Ron, and it seemed like many people held like that. In addition, the Katzos said another reason from the opposite end. He said that when you borrow something that's for a mitzvah, we have a rule, mitzvahs lav lehenes nidu. Mitzvahs are not given to have physical pleasure. In other words, the halacha is, if I say, you are not allowed to have any pleasure from me, I make a neder, you cannot have any pleasure from me. So the halacha is, I can blow shofar for you, because even though you're getting the benefit of fulfilling the mitzvah, that's not called physical benefit in the laws of kosher mishpat, or in the laws of the Torah. That's not called physical benefit. Mitzvah lenitzin. So if you borrow tefillin, or you borrow a sefer Torah, according to this reasoning, you're not considered a borrower because that's not called real value. That's not called monetary fiscal value in this world because it's for mitzvah use. So we spoke about this. Not focus over there. So the Mishpat Shlomo brings it over here also to say that when you borrow the tefillin, so it's not so simple that when you're borrowing, then you're really a borrower. You're really a shoel. To say that when you finish borrowing them, you will be downgraded to be a shomer tzachar, to be responsible for a theft. You know, you won't be responsible for a fire or like everyone. It could be that when you borrow the tefillin, at that time you were really only a shomer tzachar. You were paying for it according to the Ron, or it's not considered benefits, less than a kutza according to the Ksos. You're not considered a borrower, so when you finish using them, you're downgraded from being a shomer tzachar to be a shomer chinam. And the rule of a shomer chinam is that he's not responsible for theft. So there is this dispute. The Mishpat Shlomo says if you happen to be the one that borrowed this villain, you can certainly go to the court and say, you can't collect money from me. Right, the owner can't collect money from me for that loss of the tefillin because I hold, like the Ran or the Ksos, and many Kosim who hold, that whenever you borrow something that's for mitzvah use, it doesn't give you the status of a real borrower, and therefore, when I'm finished using it, I'm not downgraded to be a Shomer Tzachar, I'm downgraded further to be a Shomer Chinam, and he says maybe even nothing. He says some Svara. But at least, at best, I could be called a shomer chinam. In that case, I'm not responsible for theft. So that's just an interesting addendum to last week's case, that even though we have a rule that when you finish borrowing something, you're downgraded to be a shomer tzachar, but if the thing that you borrowed was a dvar mitzvah, so at that point, even when you were borrowing it, you were only a shomer tzachar, you were not a shoel. So therefore, when you're finished with it, you'll be downgraded to be a shomer chinam, and you won't be responsible even for a theft. Okay, interesting case. So tonight's case is like this. Along the same lines, and that's why I wanted to put in that factor first. Tonight's case is the union. I'll use the union b'mishpat case, and then we'll take it to make it more seasonal. He talked about someone who borrowed a Megillat Esther on Purim night. Right. Can I borrow, Reuven borrowed Shimon's Megillat Esther, and he needed to read it at home. Right. Let's say a common case, they're both in shul, and he sees his neighbor has a Megillat, he says, can I borrow it? I need to take it home to read to my wife, to someone that's sick. And Shimon says, sure, you can borrow it, but make sure you bring it back by shul tomorrow for Shachris, because I want to use it at Shachris, at shul. And Reuven said, fine. So Reuven took the Megillah, and he went and he read it that night, and the next morning he dutifully brought it back to shul to give it back to Shimon. So Shimon wasn't at shul, he decided to go with the minyan. So now what's Reuven supposed to do? Shimon's not at shul, he has the Megillah, and he wants to know if he can take it back home and read to his wife again. He was going to ask maybe Shimon anyway, okay, now that he finished it, can I borrow it a second time? So can he, since Shimon isn't here, and the deal was you only had to bring it back to shul, can he take it home? Right, Shimon missed it anyway. He wasn't like Reuven. You can't say, well, Reuven should leave shul and find out where Shimon is. You know, that's not his responsibility. He did nothing wrong. He returned it. So number one, can he take it home and read it again? And number two, if he chooses to take it home and use it again, what happens if it gets stolen at that point? Right, the way we said the case when the email was, we used the shofar. On days when there's 2 days of blowing shofar, and this year it's not Sanogeya, but a year where there'd be two days of blowing shofar. The first day, you borrowed the shofar, I take it home and blow it for my wife, yes, but bring it back tomorrow morning. And he brought it back the next day, and that person wasn't there. Can he take it home and use the shofar again? And if he does, what will his responsibilities be? That is the title. Well, we know, we learned that if you're a shomer for a blanket and you use it, that's called shlichus yad. It's called gizela. That's theft. If you're watching something, you're supposed to watch it. You can't use it. Right? So you want to say that since, right, based on last week, when we started, that since when he finishes borrowing it, he's now downgraded to be a shomer sofer. Right? Last night, he was borrowing it. Right? By the Megillah. The first day of the shofar, he was borrowing it. Now that he's finished borrowing it, he's downgraded to be a shomer sofer. Now he's a shomer sofer who's getting paid to watch something, is not allowed to use it for any of his own uses. He can't use it to help out that object, but not for his own personal use. If he chooses to use it for his personal use, he becomes a gosman, he becomes a robber, and he'll be responsible for anything that happens to him. That's what you want to say. So, well, if he was a borrower, well, let's assume he's a borrower, leave the missile part out of the way. If he's a borrower, he gets downgraded to be a shomer sofer. Right. If we consider him a shomer sofer because of our mitzvah, so then he'll be downgraded to a shomer kina, but that part we'll leave aside right now.
Don't we say that if he wasn't a shomer of any sort, but he found Shimon's sitter,
right,
and used for a mitzvah with nogeya, that he's allowed to use it like using someone safer?
So you want to say that maybe this should be like a halacha, that if someone leaves a talus around in shul, you're allowed to use it because we assume that the owner wouldn't mind you using it.
Yeah.
Right? So it should be like that halacha.
So let's
take the Gemara one by one. The first issue we'll talk about is, are you allowed to use it, right? The issue that Dr. Goldfinger brought up. Right? Is this like the case where you find something in a shul, a talus in a shul, are you allowed to use it? Okay, so the Gemara, it's really, it'll take a little while just to get to the point that we want to get to. But it's based on this Mishnah Bava Kamma, the Gemara. The Mishnah Bava Kamma, Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, says like this: Hagonev Tala Min Ha'eder. If someone steals a lamb from a flock, someone's flock of animals, that has zero, and he just put it back without telling him that he had stolen it, without telling him he returned it, Umeito Nignav, and after he returned it, it died or it got stolen, Chayav Achriyoso, the robber is responsible to pay for it. That's the ratio. The sefer of the Mishnah says, Lo yodu ba'olim lo b'gnevot v'lo b'chazni rato. If the owner did not know that it either got stolen or it got returned, he didn't know anything. Umanu atatzon ushleimahi, and he happened to count the flock and he saw that everything's there, and then the animal died or got stolen, Pater, the robber is Pater for whatever happens afterwards. Now, I read the Mishnah the way it says it, but we'll see the Gemara has four different ways of understanding the Mishnah. We're going to say two of them, and neither of them are like I just said. In other words, this. Well, let's see the Gemara, and then you'll see what I mean. Rav Yochanan Amar, Rav Yochanan is the third Pshat, Rav Chisda is going to be the fourth Pshat. Rav Yochanan says, Pshat in the Mishnah, the halacha is like this. L'da'at, if an owner knows that something was stolen from him, so when will the robber be pasted for anything that happens? So it's minyan poter. That's if the owner counts him. If the owner counts it and he sees that it's been returned, so then the robber is pasted, even though he didn't explicitly tell him that he stole it and he's returning it. Shalolidat, if the owner did not know about that it was stolen, afila minyan namilotach, he doesn't even have to count it, he's automatically Pater, because if you steal something and the person doesn't know about it, you just put it back and you're pater, you're absolved of all future responsibility. Now the Mishnah doesn't make sense the way we read it. So the Gemara says, because the Mishnah said like this. The Mishnah said, "Lo yodabar." If the owner did not know about it was, whether it was that it was stolen, and then he counted it, it is pasur. Mashma, when the owner does not know about it, the only way to be pasur is if he counts them and finds out that they're all there. But here, Rav Yochanan is saying that you don't have to count them. As soon as you put it back, you automatically just put it back in the yard quickly, and you're pasur. You don't have to have him count it. So the Gemara says that line, Chik Tani, when the Mishnah says Manu Asatun Hishleima, that the owner counted the flock and he saw they're all there, that's talking Hareisha, that's talking in the first case where he knew it was stolen. So where he knows it's stolen, oh, something's missing. So then the moment, the time that he counts his flock and he sees that they're all there, so then the robber is absolved of all future responsibility. He returns it. It's now the owner. It's back in the owner's possession. But if the owner never knew that it was stolen, all the robber has to do is just put it back, and then if it gets stolen afterwards, he's not chaya for anything.
Those words go on the resha. What about this lo yadu
balim? So you have to say the yadu balim lo gnezim lo chazira. So then he's pasur as long as he returns it. He has to put that in. That's what Rav Yochanan says. In other words, Rav Yochanan holds that if you rob something and the owner doesn't know it was stolen, just put it back and you're parted from all responsibility. You don't have to tell him, you don't have to embarrass yourself, and you're not responsible. Rav Chista Amadar, Rav Chista says a different halacha. He says, L'da'as, in the first part he agrees. If the owner knows it was stolen, minyan parted, when he counts it, then the robber is parted. Same thing, we'll see that that line of the Mishnah goes back to the beginning. But if you stole something from that person and he doesn't know about it, you're not absolved of responsibility by just putting it back in the yard. You have to tell him that you're returning it. But if you don't tell him you're returning it, you are still responsible, still considered in your possession. Like, that's the svara. If you steal something, when is it considered that it's back the way it was before? According to Rav Yochanan, just put it back and you've reversed what you did and you're finished. According to Rav Chista, no, you have to tell him that I stole this from you and I'm returning it, and now I don't want to be responsible anymore. But that's Machlokes, Rav Chista and Rav Yochanan. The Gemara on Amid Beis wants to say that this Machlokes, Rav Yochanan, Rav Chista, is really Machlokes of Tanoim, because the Gemara brings up Raita that quotes that elaborates on the Mishnah by showing that there is a dispute over there. So the Braisa says like this: Haganav tala min ha'eder, someone stole a sheep from the flock. And the Mishnah says, the Braisa says another case of a money from a wallet, so that will leave. So lamakav shaganav yasir, Yisrael. Yisrael says, just put it back where you stole it from. Right? You stole it. He doesn't know about it. Just put it back in your pasur from all responsibility. Rabbi Kiva says, sarataz b'aylim. The owner has to know about it. So the Gemara says, isn't it talking, but flesh a little dog? We're assuming we're talking about the owner did not know that his sheep got stolen, his lamb got stolen, or plukter al chisr al yochanan. So this machlokis in the brice between Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is the same machlokis as Rav Chisr and Rav Yochanan. They're talking about you stole something without the owner knowing about it. What do you have to do now to be absolved of responsibility? Rav Yisrael said, just put it back. That seems to be like Rav Yochanan. And Rav Kiva says, no, you have to tell him. That seems to be like Rav Chisda. So Gemara says, no, it's no Raya. Amar Azvin Mishmei Derava. Rav Zvid said, no. Beganim Mishra's violin. If he actually stole it from that person's yard, from his property, Kuli Amalot Pligi Ki Rav Chisda, everyone can agree with Rav Chisda that you have to tell him about it. If you don't tell him, you're still responsible. But Bahacha, and this is why we're saying this whole thing over here, Bahacha, here, what's the machlokes in the Braita? The Shomer, Shagana Meshuso. We're talking about a Shomer over here. He was a Shomer, he's being paid to watch that person's property as a Shomer. And what he decided to do was to steal it. He decided to steal the sheep for his own use, the cow, to plow his field, to do whatever he wanted. He decided to steal it. And now the question is, can he just put it back to where he took it from, meaning in his own house where he had taken it? He had watched the flock over here, he took it to steal. Can he just put it back now? Here we're talking, can he just put it back to where he stole it? And the question is like this: why shouldn't he be able to put it back to where he stole it? Because he's responsible for it now, so we should say he's like playing two roles now. He's playing the role of the robber, but since he's responsible for the sheep, he also should be able to play the role of the owner. Right? The owner paid him to watch the sheep. So he's like taking, if another person, a third person, stole the property from a shomer, from a paid watchman, so certainly he would just have to give it back to that paid watchman, and he would be absolved of responsibility. He wouldn't have to go find the owner. So over here, why don't we just say that this shomer who stole the sheep is returning it to himself with his knowledge, and that should count. So the Gemara says, because Rav Akiva Sovar Kosel L'Shmiras, Rav Akiva says, the minute you become a robber, the minute you took it wrongly, so you're no longer a shomer. The owner doesn't trust you anymore. You can't say, well, I returned it to the owner because I'm his trustee. You can't be a trustee anymore if he doesn't trust you. You're a robber. You lose your value as a custodian. You're no longer a shomer. So you have to return it to the owner. The owner has to know about it. You have not terminated your value as a trustee, and returning it to yourself will help. So this is the last thing we need to know from this Gemara, this last part, that if you are washing something from someone and you steal it, so there's a machlokas, Rav Akiva says it's not sufficient to just put it back and you're back to where you started from, because as soon as you stole it, you've broken the deal, you're no longer a trustee of the owner. And Rav Shmuel says, no, you still remain that trustee, and just put it back and you're okay. Okay, so what's that have to do with us? The Mordechai on the second side of the hand, of the handout, takes a case one step further. The Mordechai says, and the Ramah brings it, mashma, it seems, Adam HaNifkat, if someone is watching something for someone, im shalal chetetz echa min apikadin shebi yado, if he borrowed, he didn't steal it, he said, let me borrow that sheep, he wasn't planning on stealing it, he said, let me borrow it and I'll put it back. If he borrowed one of the objects of that pikadin shebi yado that he's watching, one of the things that he's holding, and then after he used it, he put it back. He was borrowing it, now he puts it back. Mechetzos pitzakadon, as a pikadon. So the Mordechai says, she'eino lav din shoel. He doesn't become a shoel who's who's responsible for everything. He goes back to being a regular shomer. He reversed his wrongdoing. He wrongly took that object to borrow, the Chorah. That's the way the Sma understands the Ramah. Not even wrongly, but he, without permission, he took it, but by putting it back, he's reversed that mistake, if it's a mistake. The Da'a Shomer Chashkid Az Ba'ilam, because returning it back to where he was washing it is, like we said, that's like returning it to the owner, because he is the custodian, he's the trustee of the owner, so it's like giving it back to the owner. Rabbi Akiva, the Amar calls the Shmira. So even though Rabbi Akiva said that when you take something wrongly, you're now broken that trust. That's only if you steal it. Because the owner doesn't trust the robber. But you borrow it. You trust him. He trusts himself. So his Shmira has not been terminated. Right. So the Ramah passes is Mordechai. Now, this Ma says, everyone says that. The Ramah just says, if you take something wrong as a watchman and you put it back, so now you reversed it and you're okay.
The Shleach Yad is not a Ghana?
Shleach Yad is
not a Ghana?
He's saying, well, the Ramah takes from this Mordechai that if you're Shleach Yad, as long as you still have it, you're a Ghana. But if you put it back, you reverse it and you're back to being a regular shomer. Right, that's what they're most going. Even though if you take something when you're watching it, you're at that point a thief. If you put it back, you're okay. And he's understanding that from the Mordechai, because Mordechai said it depends what you meant. Did you mean to really steal it? If you meant to steal it, so then putting it back won't be good according to Rabbi Akiva. But if you only meant to borrow it, so you were wrong in borrowing it. The way the Rama understands, you were wrong in borrowing it. But if you put it back, you've reversed it.
Shleach Yad either way.
you're shaleach yad, so as long as you were shaleach yad, you will be ganav and you'll be responsible for anything that happens to it. But by returning it, since you are still, you're still the shomer, you haven't lost his trust, so you returned it to him. Because just like any ganav, you return it to the owner, and the owner knows you returned it, so then you're finished. So here also, the Ramah says, you are still the trustee of the owner, so by returning it to yourself, you've reversed it. That's the way the Ramah seems to be passing. The Ramah says it doesn't make sense. The Ramah says, if you're shaleach yad, you're a goslin. And there's no difference whether you meant on taking it forever, you meant on taking it just for a little while. If you steal something from someone and you're planning on returning it, that's still a theft. So he says, the Ramah says, we have to be talking about something where you know the owner doesn't mind lending it out. If you know that the owner always lends out his computer or his sheep, his car, whatever it is, and he asks you to watch it for him, and you know that he always lends it out, so if you decide to borrow it and with the intention of putting it back, so you're not called a goslin. Because you know he always lends it out, you know he doesn't mind lending this item out, so that's okay. He says if it's a type of item that people generally are not makbid in giving out. That's really the way he puts it. I'm not sure whether he's talking about he knows this owner specifically or it's a type of item that generally people don't care about. But that's what he's saying. The Shach disagrees with the Smach. Bachosa says that he says the Mordechai is not talking about such a case. The Mordechai is not talking where you took it without the owner's knowledge. The Mordechai is talking where you called him up and you said, Can I borrow your cow? So then the Mordechai says that if you put it back, you're no longer a borrower because you put it back and you're in his employment, you're his shomer until now, so all you have to do is put it back. But Shach says you can't learn any halacha from here that if you're washing something, you're allowed to use it when you know the owner won't mind it. Because he says the Mordechai is talking where you told him about it. And he says the Ramah don't know what to do with. The Nesivos agrees with the Smach that if you take something that you know the owner is not going to mind, if you put it back, you're okay, and you're not considered a ganav at that point. So we have a machlokas, which is very nogeya, our case over here. Like we have a case where you're watching something for someone, and let's say the case of the shofar, the case of the megillah. You're watching a shofar for someone. If you know people in general, or this person doesn't mind lending out his shofar or his megillah, so then, according to the smach, according to the Ramah for sure, you use it and you put it back and you're finished, but it might not be right to do. According to the smach though, it's okay to do, because we know that the owners don't mind. So if you take it, that's fine. According to the shach, you're still called a goslin unless you actually have asked him, and without that you still can't take it. So based on that, we would Lakora say over here, where you had the shofar or the megillah, and our first question was, are you first of all allowed to use it? Right? You've now been downgraded. You finished using it that night, the megillah. You've now been downgraded to be a shomer sachar. So as this shomer now, are you allowed to shaleach yad and use it for your own use? Right? He wasn't at shul, but you're still a shomer sachar. You have to return it to him sometime, and until that time, you're a shomer sachar. Can you use it for your use? So we would say that according to the smach, yes, you can. But according to the shach, you can't do it unless you call him up and ask him. However, the unit of mishpat says here might even be better. Because in this case, you know already that he lent it to you once. He said you could use it. You could use it at night. So there you can, it could be that everyone will agree that the assumption is that if he let you use it at night, why should he not let you? The only reason he said to return it in the day was because he wanted it, not because he said it has one use left, and after that, I don't want to lend it out anymore. Right? He just wanted it back because he wanted to use it. He's not at shul. So So the unit of Mishpat assumes that everyone should agree that we've covered our first hurdle, that you're not caught a goslin for taking it. The second issue, though, is are you caught a shaleyach yad? So there's a Shulchan Aruch Rav. He wants to say that even if under normal circumstances you find a talis in a shul and you want to use it, or you want to use that shofar that you find laying around and maybe people aren't mocking, you want to use it, that's all okay if it's laying around and you're using it. But if you're a shomer, you're being paid to be a shomer, your pay was the fact that you had the benefit of using it, there's a gzeres hakasev. There's a gzeres hakasev that you're not allowed to use something that you're watching. That's a gzeres hakasev. The pasuk says you're not allowed to be shaleach yad for something that you are watching. And you can say, oh well, he won't mind, he probably doesn't mind, but the Torah says don't use something that you're watching, and we can't use all these svaras. That's what the Shulchan Aruch Rav paskins. The Minchas Pitim agrees with him. The Trichoshim brings it that whenever we talk about things that you could generally borrow because the owner won't mind, it doesn't help if you are a shomer. If you're a shomer, so then even though generally we can assume you wouldn't mind, but there's a pasuk says, the Torah says you're not allowed to use it. So that should apply here also. However, he brings, and Yudhi Mishpat again, brings from another shiur we spoke about, that we spoke about a Mordechai. We spoke about it, Derech Agav wasn't the main topic, but there's a Mordechai that says another halacha, and that is, if you lend a sefer to a Talmud Chacham who doesn't have that sefer, right, normally, especially in the times of the Gemara, the Poskim, a sefer wasn't something that you could assume that you could use if it's left around because they were valuable, they could tear. And the assumption is, it's not like a Talmud just put on, you fold it up and it's back the way it was. A sefer wasn't something that you normally can use without permission. So the Mordechai says, if you lend a sefer to a Talmud Chacham, it's like giving candy to a baby. Now, he doesn't say it like that, but that's what he means. He says it's like money to a shulchani. We said if you give money to a banker to watch, please watch it, and you leave it untied, we learned the Mishnah said that the assumption is that the banker assumes he's allowed to use it as long as he replaces it. Because what are you giving me money? You know, I use money all the time, so I'll use it and I'll just replace it for you. If you give it to him tied up, so then he's not allowed to use it. So the Mordechai says something, give a sefer to a Talmud Chacham, he doesn't have that sefer, what's he going to do with it? It's like teasing him. Of course he's going to use it, and of course you know that he's going to use it, so by giving it to him, you are tacitly allowing him to use it, because that's what he's going to do, just like money to the banker. So he wants to say that might be here also, where you gave this person the Miglos Esther to read the first night, or the Shofar to blow the first day, and you didn't show up at shul the next time. So certainly you're downgraded as soon as you finish using it that night or the first day, the Shofar, the Megillah, the Lulav, whatever it is, you're downgraded. But now when he doesn't show up like he was supposed to take it back, so at that point, we can say he's like, it's like the case of giving a sefer to a Talmud Chacham, even though normally, no matter what you're watching, you're not allowed to use it for your own use unless the owner gave you permission. But over here, where he already said you could use it at night, and he's not showing up now to pick it up, we can assume that it's like he gave a sefer Torah to a Talmud Chacham, money to a Shulchani, that everyone will agree that you can use it. So he concludes that certainly, based on these two reasons, the shomer, the borrower of the Megillat Esther, or of the shofar in our case, is allowed to use it, and he should have no compunctions about using it. It's fine, because first of all, the issue of is he a ganav? He's not a ganav according to everyone the way he understands it, because over here he's let him use it the first time. You can assume that he wouldn't mind using it the second time. The issue of the gzeres hakasev, if you're a shomer, you're not allowed to use something that you're watching. So that we can assume also that since we can assume the owner knows that since he needs it, he needed it the first night, he'll probably need it the second day also, and I didn't show up, so he should be able to use it that day also. But the issue now is, what are the responsibilities if something happens when he's using it? Right, that's the last thing we have to talk about. Now, like we said a few times already, that as soon as he finished using it the first time, he's downgraded to being a Shomer Safek. When does he become a Shoel again? When does he become a borrower again? So that'll be like the halacha we said in general. When do you become responsible as a Shoel? So by a regular Shomer, there's a machlokas whether you have to make a kinyan or whether just the fact that the owner goes away is enough. We spoke out that by a Shoel it seems that there's more reason to think that you would need to make a kinyan, and over here the owner is certainly not here to say that, well, now something changed. So the assumption should be that until he makes a kinyan, until he does something to show that he wants to be a Shoel, he remains a Shomer Safek. Right? But when he starts using it again, when he makes a kinyan to pick it up to use it, or just pick it up to make a kinyan, now he decides when he picks it up to take it home, so at that point he becomes a Shoel. Right? So at that point, if he becomes a Shoel, he should be responsible. Now what's a Shoel Chaya for? A Shoel is Chaya for everything except what? Meisamach Melacha. So over here in this case, let's talk about a Megillah. He's using the Megillah, and in the course of using the Megillah, some letters got rubbed off and need some repairs just from normal use. So you would say, well, anything else that happens, so he's going to be Chaya. If it gets stolen, if it gets burnt in a fire with an armed robber, he'll be Chaya for it. But if it's Meisamach Melacha, he should be Patur. That he'll be Patur on. But that's not so simple either. Because the Ritva says, what's the reason, if you recall, why do we say that if something dies in the normal course of use, you don't have to pay for it? Because you can tell the owner, look, I didn't borrow this to keep locked up, you let me borrow it to use the cow. The cow dies while I'm plowing, and that's what you let me use it for. But the Ritva says that's only in a normal case of borrowing, where he gave it to you when you borrowed it. But over here, you're taking it without his knowledge. We say that we're assuming that he won't mind, but he didn't say that you could borrow it, so in that case we don't have this chiddush of the Gemara to say, well, why did you lend it to me? You know that I'm going to use it. I lent it to you for the first time. The second time I didn't lend it to you. So the Ritva holds that you'll be chayiv even for a mesa machas melacha. The Machna Prime brings machlokas rishonim on that it might, that he holds that no, but still the fact that you have implicit permission, that's enough. So there's a machlokas how far this responsibility you go when you're a Shoel. So let's just sum up all the different disputes we have over here, and hopefully it'll be clearer. Okay, so the first time you're using the Megillah, that night, so right there we have machlokes right away, because since it's a Divine Mitzvah, if it wasn't a Divine Mitzvah, so then we'd say you're a Shoel. You're certainly a borrower, responsible for everything except Meisamach Melacha. But since it's something that's used for a mitzvah, we saw that there's the Ran and the Ketos hold that when you borrow something for a mitzvah, like that Sefer Torah, the Megillah, a shofar, a lulav, so then you don't become a Shoel because he's getting some benefit, or you're not getting real physical benefit, so you're only a Shomer Safek at that time. So the first time you're reading it, so if it gets stolen, for sure you'll be chayiv, because you're at least a Shomer Safek. If it's burnt up in a fire or something unavoidable, you have a shaila whether you're really a Shoel or not, based on this Tos and the Ran. And if it's based on Machs Melacha, so then for sure you'll be Patur, because even if you're a Shoel, here it was a normal, explicit shaila, and you'll be Patur. After you finish reading the Megillah or blowing the shofar, you're now downgraded. So if you were a Shoel, we consider you a Shoel, we ignore the Divine Mitzvah part, so now you're downgraded to be a Shomer Safek, and if you're a Shomer Safek, you'll only be responsible for theft. But anything unavoidable, you won't be chayiv for. And certainly if it dies from use, you won't be chayiv for that. If it catches fire, you won't be chayiv for that. If you were only a Shomer Safek when you were using it, because it's a Divine Mitzvah, now that you've finished using it, you're downgraded further to be only a Shomer Chinam, and then you won't even be responsible for theft or a loss. You won't be responsible for negligence. And we said, according to the Tosafot, you won't be responsible for anything, maybe. But, Pashas, you won't be Chaya for a theft at that point, because you were only a Shomer Safek when you were using it. Now that you've finished using it, you're downgraded to be a Shomer Chinam at theft. Now he decided he didn't show up, and we learned since he didn't show up in Shul, he was supposed to, it'll be mutter for you to take it home and use again. right, for those different reasons that we spoke about. Now when you're using it again, so if we ignore the mitzvah part, you are a sholel. So if you're a sholel, if anything happens to it, you're going to be chayiv. If it's meismach melacha, though, even though normally we say a sholel is pater from meismach melacha, but over here, since it was only an implicit sholel, it wasn't an explicit borrowing, you can't say, well, what else did I borrow it for? You didn't lend it to me explicitly. So there we have a machlokas, whether you can use the heter of meismach melacha. But then we said there's also the issue that it is being used for a mitzvah, which might mean that you're not even a sholel at all. You might only be a shomer sachar at that time, but you will at least be a shomer sachar. So if it gets stolen, you'll certainly be a chayiv at that time. You might not be, but if it gets stolen, you will be chayiv at that time. And if you're making a machlokas, so then we said there's this machlokas. If you're a sholel, there's that machlokas. So that is the story of this Megillah. Same thing will be with the shofar and any other Dvar Mitzvah. So this ends the series of Shomrim, also ends the season, which I have seen with Sima Tova. After Sukkot, once again, the full week after Sukkot, we'll in Yisrael Hashem start a new series on Hashavas Aveda, returning lost objects, all the halachos regarding that.